Isn't it good to be in fellowship with one another? In fellowship in Christ, because we are one in Christ. I am his, and he is mine. Those first two songs that we sung tonight, the first one was, Come, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing your praise. Who are we speaking about tonight as we sing those hymns? Hymns of praise and worship. We are talking about the God whom we love and the God whom we serve. Isn't that wonderful that we can do that tonight in fellowship? There could be many places we could be tonight. But thank God that we're here together to worship the Lord, the Saviour himself, this evening. What other areas did we find in that particular hymn? I remember God's great mercy. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, where could we be? The mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ for our lives. Isn't it wonderful that God himself so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Those hymns that we sing, talking about forgiveness and showing God himself for who he is. And then also it tells us in that hymn, through God's grace, undeserved favour, freely given to every one of us tonight. We are privileged tonight, privileged to be children of God. And we can say tonight too, that it's through no merit of our own, but God himself in his love and his mercy and grace. And that second hymn, just before we look at this passage this evening, and we will pray before we address this word. The Potter's House. We're talking about, have thine own way, Lord. And our desire as Christians in this day and generation, because we need the power and the strength of God. We need to be conscious of his will and purpose for our lives. Daily. It talks about here, have thine own way, Lord. That is our desire for the Lord, for us. Have thine own way. Are we sincere when we sing those hymns of praise and worship? Are we sincere, or do they just go through our lips with no meaning? I'm sure today, as a believer in Christ, that our heart's desire is that we come and demand that the Lord has his way in our lives. And here we see, thou art the potter. The one who made us. The one who made us, the one who molds us, the one who shapes us. We want to see that. And we recognize too that we are the clay. And we're under the hands of the master himself. Mold me and make me after thy will. Not my will, not your will, but after the Lord. It's God's will. And for you and I tonight, friends, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no other man cometh unto the Father but by him. And tonight we want to look at his word again tonight. We thank God for his blessings this morning and his teaching, and also in fellowship as we have gathered in various parts of our city and our country. Thank you for those moments. May you treasure them. May we all treasure them. They're valuable to us, our Christian walk and our commitment to the Lord himself, and to encourage each other in our walk as well. So may God help us and strengthen us in these days, these hymns. While I am waiting, it says in that hymn too, yielded and still, are we yielding to Christ? Are we waiting for the presence of God to work in our lives? Are we? Maybe tonight reassure ourselves, reaffirm ourselves by the presence of God that he will say, I am shaping you. I am molding you. I am shaping you into a beautiful thing for my service and for his glory. Let us pray before we go into this particular passage this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've gathered us here in your house. We thank you for those hymns of praise and our desire is that we are definitely the clay. You are the potter which shapes us. Help us to recognize the importance of our position before you. We are children of God. And if there's anyone here tonight who's not sure, may they be sure tonight of the way of the cross. Jesus himself, who died in their place, that they might have life and have it to the full. So, Father, as we look at this passage together, we're asking for the Spirit of God to engage with us. Please, Lord, for your Spirit to speak to every one of us. We may have read this passage numerous times, but Father, we ask that afresh you will minister to us. Help us as we read, as we trust in you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah himself was a prophet, as we know. And it's interesting to see that God had chosen him. But Jeremiah reveals, in this book of Jeremiah, it reveals the inner struggles of a prophet of God. And we find that in chapter 15. How Jeremiah's dejection, you remember it says, "Woe is me, my mother, that you have borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention, heated disagreement to the whole earth." And yet the Lord said, "Surely it will be well with your remnant. Surely I will cause the enemy to intercede with you." In time of adversity and in time of affliction, remember. Remember. And we see in chapter 20, Jeremiah's unpopular ministry. "I am in derision daily." This is Jeremiah himself. "They laugh at me. I'm a laughing stock." Jeremiah was unpopular in many ways, but God's hand was in his life. Jeremiah reveals his inner turmoil concerning his call to the prophetic ministry. The anguish over the message of judgment. And here we're talking about God's judgment on his people because of their disobedience. A message of judgment upon his people and the coming destruction of his people. Of the land was at times... of the land which overwhelmed Jeremiah in many ways. The sorrow of the doomed nation itself. How God's people were so drifting far from him. And despite Jeremiah's anguish, he fulfilled his ministry of proclaiming God's judgment against the people of Judah for their idolatry, their unfaithfulness to the covenant in which God made with them. They had broken it. They were disobedient to the will of God. Yet Jeremiah was a faithful servant of God despite the hardships. What can we see here about Jeremiah? He was trusting in God. For God's strength. Jeremiah, we hear about his prayers, his confessions, and his laments too. And dialogues reveal the depth of the prophet's understanding of the will of God and the nature of his relationship to his people. Jeremiah grieved because he knew he needed to reach those. And the prophet is called How was Jeremiah called? Well, let's look at chapter 1, verse 4 to 9. It says here, "Then the word of the Lord came to me." What does it say? "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Isn't that amazing? "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born," this is amazing, "I sanctified you." Sanctified. What a word, isn't it? Jeremiah being sanctified. "Before you were born, I sanctified you." And not only that, he says in those few verses, "I ordained you a prophet to the nations." What a call from God, eh? For Jeremiah and prophets like him. But what is Jeremiah's response? Verse 6, "Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." What does that remind you of? Remember Moses, when God called him? "I can't speak." Okay, there's a difference in age there, but where was his faith? But God says, the Lord said to me in verse 7, "Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, whatever I command you, and you shall speak." Here Jeremiah had been chosen to speak. And the Lord says, this is reassurance too. The Lord says, "Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you, and I will deliver you." Coming from God, eh? That reassurance. Do not be afraid of their faces. Sometimes we're fearful in a crowd, especially if we're the only Christian that's in that crowd. We tend to quiet ourselves down a wee bit. But here we go. "Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you." And so on. This judgment and restoration in this particular chapter here in 18, the pot and the clay, we know that God was dealing with his people. But Jeremiah had a task. And Jeremiah was instructed to go to a place. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house." "Arise. And there I will cause you to hear my words." An instruction from God. "Go, and you will hear my words." Jeremiah was faithful. Why? Because Jeremiah had hope in the Lord. He believed and he trusted in the Lord. Do you remember they used to call him the weeping prophet? We know the reason why. Because he had a heart for people. But he had his limitations too. He knew his weaknesses. He had struggles. Just like you and I in our Christian walk. We have our challenges. We have our struggles too. We have our weaknesses. But you know, God is faithful. And God will see us through these issues. In this passage of a scripture I read earlier on, it says, "To speak with you about in the hands of the potter." Jeremiah was told to go to the potter's house. Talks about here about the clay. Unless the clay comes in contact with the hands of the potter, it is nothing, isn't it? All you see is a lump of clay, just lying. Nothing. What is our life? In this world, our life is nothing. But in Christ, we are everything. In Christ, we are everything. Jesus is the potter. And so the lump can't do anything to become of itself. It cannot do anything to become beautiful. Sorry, it cannot do anything to become beautiful either. It has to go through a process. A process. And what is that process? The process sometimes is very harmful for the clay, as you can see how it's moulded and shaped and beaten. But sometimes the process of life can be difficult for you and for me. As we go through life, and I'm sure if you're like me, we have faced many challenges in our own life. But we want to stand here to say, God, thank you for seeing through these situations in our life. Life is a learning curve too for all of us. But you know, this is all the part of the Master's process of making us into something beautiful. By itself, the clay is helpless, and it might get dizzy there in the wheel, as you see, spinning on that wheel, spinning around. It might be bruised in the hands too, if you can picture this. But you know, it is imperative that the clay keeps in contact with the hands of the potter. Why? Because it needs to be shaped to what the potter wishes it to be. Shaped. The potter knows what he is doing. And only then can the clay become something. Something of what? Something of stability and something of beauty. Stability and beauty. That's what we need as brothers and sisters in Christ. Momentum, stability, and beauty. How do we get that? By the forming of ourselves by the hands of the Master himself. God, our God. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, it tells me there, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand." The work of thy hand. Not the work of ourselves, but the work of God. And we should see that is evidence in our lives as we live our lives for Christ. Not just in church, in business, in our family lives, in our recreation life. That needs to be seen. And for that, of the hand of the Lord working. And we look at this potter as he shapes the clay. We must be pliable. Pliable and malleable, and the desire for purity. We'll never be perfect in this world, but our aspirations is for to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. When that day comes, when we'll meet him and see him face to face, we will be renewed completely. No sin, no more sickness, no more pain. No more sadness. Isn't that wonderful? A day of a hope that we will see our Lord and Master, the one who shapes us today as we come to serve him, as to live out our lives for him. We are the jars that he makes. We are the jars that he makes. And I want us to see a potter working with clay. And in Genesis chapter 2, I read 2 in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man." Now we're told that the word "formed" is the very same Hebrew word that Jeremiah uses when the potter formed the clay. The Lord God formed man from the dust out of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? As you and I know, Man became a living soul. A living soul. God formed the dust to create man, as we see in Genesis. The eternal power that formed Adam is the power that I need in my life. And it's the power that you need in your life. The power of God in our lives. We are told Palestine has some of the finest clay pits. And they're usually near the house of the potter. And the potter builds his house near the clay fields. And you know the reason for that, the clay pits. And he digs. And some of the best clay is at the bottom of the pit. And the potter wants it, not for what it is. Listen to this. Not for what it is, but for what it might become. It might be. What about you and me this evening? You and me this evening. God sees potential in your life. God sees potential in my life. Do you see it? Do you understand it? We might not necessarily know where he's leading us. But if we're obedient to him, allowing the shape of the master's hand to form us, to mold us, to break all the impurities out of us, to become renewed within ourselves. This is what God can do for you and I, daily, in our walk with him. God sees the potential. He sees in you something special. I want us to remember that tonight. And also, if we're in a pit and we feel we need help at times, who should we be going to? Well, I would say that we should be going to our master, our father, the potter himself, to lift us out of the pit and mold us into something new. Help us. This world is a wicked world, as you know. We see so much in the news today. The world is getting deeper and deeper and going drifting so far from God in everything. It says in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him, the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So much of this world attracts human life today. But these attractions do not last. They're a deceitfulness of the world. They deceive people today. They're not lasting. God wants to shape our lives, remove the impurities. He forms and he will reform. We may have been saved for a number of years tonight, but let's remember the Lord is reforming us. He should be reforming us day by day. And if he's not, then we have to question ourselves. Why not? Are we not allowing the Lord to shape us? Is there things holding us back from allowing the Lord to use us? To get his way. We've sung it, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Or are we singing, have my own way in this particular section of my life? You can have this part, but not that part. And this is where we find the impurities within the clay, the air pockets. And when it comes to the curing of it, we find it cracks and it's no longer of any use, but for the bin. But while we're pliable and we're malleable, God can shape us and mold us. Isn't it wonderful that we can see this? And we might look quite good from the outside to the casual observer. But deep down, in our hearts. Only you know, and only God knows. Only God knows my heart too. Into the deep recesses of our life. He will remove those pockets of sin that only he discovers, because he's working and shaping. And he never gives up on us. Isn't that amazing? That he never gives up. What a wonderful God we have tonight. What a patient and long-suffering God we have this evening. He will still work. We are still in a work in progress. I want to say that tonight. We are a work in progress. Remember that when you're speaking about a brother or a sister, or when you're in fellowship together. Every one of us is a work in progress by the Master himself. We are a contaminated piece of clay by nature. And we are defiled by the thoughts that we allow to come into our minds. And that could be what we read, what we see on TV, what we do on the computers, what company we make. Be very careful in the company in which we keep. Anything that takes you away from the Word of God, it's dangerous. And that's how we have to be careful in how the word has been preached to. That we make sure that we search the scriptures to know what's been said is true. Trusting in the Spirit of God to help us as his children to grow in the will of God and in the purposes of his word, in order for us to convey it to others, the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? It's the good news. Bringing people to Christ for salvation in him alone. Only him. Dry clay. Well, it's inflexible, isn't it, as we know. And that's dangerous. What we see here in Revelation chapter 21, I've been looking at some scriptures. Revelation chapter 21, it says here in verse 6, the second half of it, I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Freely to him who thirsts. Are we thirsty for the word of God? Are we thirsty for Christ? And that's amazing. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely. There's no cost. The cost was paid. The price was paid. It is free. But it says, to him who thirsts. Tonight we have came to the house of God to worship God. Tonight together we are looking at this particular passage of scripture. Tonight we are also trusting in God to speak to us through this particular passage of scripture. And we thank God we have access to the word of God and how he will show us his will for all of us. The clay sometimes is very stubborn. Can you relate to that? Stubbornness. I've been there, and I'm sure you've been there too. Stubbornness. And it resists the hand of the potter. And so the wheel produces a centrifugal force in the center there. And the clay pushes against the hands of the potter, trying to push back. But you know, the hands of the master himself has got you secure. He knows you and he loves you, and he wants to make sure that you do not wander so far. You remember that the good shepherd? The 100 sheep? That one that was lost. He went out and he got it and brought it back. I'm sure you know brothers and sisters in Christ who have wandered from the Lord, drifted so far. And we wonder why, Lord, and we pray for them. Please, Lord, speak to them again. Restore their faith, the joy of their salvation. Restore what they had. And may we continue to do that. Continue to pray for them, that God would help them. Because he is still the master. He is the potter that shapes. And these are times when we are stubborn with God, we need to surrender to him. Remember, we're talking about each and every one of us. Not about certain people in the church. But look at yourself. Look at myself. God wants to make you and I into something useful as a living vessel for him. For him. What an honor and what a privilege for you and I tonight to be a living, working vessel. Are we working for Jesus? Remember that song, "There's a work for Jesus, none but you can do. I can do." Never compare yourself with another believer when it comes to the hand of God in your life. God gives us various gifts. And we have to respect that and honor the Lord himself for these gifts. And God has chosen these gifts for his will. Let us not question the gifts that are given, but to respect them, but also to recognize that what the God has given you may it be used for the extension of his kingdom, for the ministry and the gospel, and sharing it with family and friends, people in the street. Just before the service tonight, we saw some lovely pictures of a nice outing yesterday. Isn't it wonderful that we can come and just have recreation together and enjoy fellowship out in the boat? Just enjoying time together. But also, isn't it wonderful that we can enjoy the ministry of God and sharing together in the ministry? Jeremiah was troubled in many ways, but he was faithful. Are we faithful? Have we troubles? Yes, we do. But let us go to the master himself. He understands. He knows. And he loves us. And the potter, as we know, that sees the clay not for what it is, but for what it can become. If we look at the potter tonight and the wheel could represent life. The journey of life. Life's journey represents time too. The wheel moving of time. Could represent also the circumstances of our life too. And I want to read another verse of scripture in Psalm 119. Verse 73, it says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. And as we know, the potter shapes the clay, and the clay is made to hold the treasure. Treasure. Jeremiah went to the potter's house, and he saw, as you are seeing, the outside of the vessel. But what can the potter see? He is looking down into the heart of man. He sees what you can never see. The potter, from his vantage point, can see into our heart, God himself. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, and I don't apologize for bringing up some scriptures because I think it's important that we emphasize these passages of scripture for our own good. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." Here we see God, our Creator. He can see in all of our hearts tonight. We tend to look at the outward appearance, and we tend to judge and make judgments. But God has sees. What a sobering thought, isn't it, tonight? A sobering thought for you and I this evening, that the Lord looks into the heart. But even though he sees the impurities, he still loves you. He still loves me. That love we can't fully comprehend. So for tonight, allow God to insert his hands into all of our lives this evening. Trust in God. We have this treasure from God, but we are like clay jars that hold the treasure. What is the treasure tonight? The treasure is Christ himself. And before we go into communion tonight, we're reminded too, remember in Matthew chapter 27, it tells us here, it refers to the potter's field, which was purchased for 30 pieces of silver. A potter's field is a field of rich clay where the potter has dug out this clay. And he throws away things that are brittle, broken and unusable too. All contamination is being removed from the clay. But the Bible says that the potter painted the clay. And that glaze that is on the pot is the same word for anoint in Hebrew. You find that. He painted it, he anointed it. And when you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, you receive power. When Christ comes into your life, you receive power from above. That Holy Spirit who indwells you, who will give you the power to overcome the temptations that go before us. Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 10, we are his workmanship. The clay is totally the work of the potter. And any value that the clay has comes because he or she has spent time with the master himself. Remember when Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver? What did Judas do? He threw it into the temple, the money. He realized what he had done. And he committed suicide. And for today, there are people out there struggling. There's no hope. And there seems to be the only way out is, sadly, committing suicide. But Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. And we want to share that with others today. There's a lot of issues out there today. People living in fear and uncertainty. But we have an assurity on Christ. On Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So tonight, as we see the potter in the clay, as we see God, the Lord himself, shaping and molding us, may we become what we should be in his will, serving him, reaching out to others with the gospel, because there'll come a time when it will be too late. May God help us to share our faith with others. May he touch the lives of men and women in Morgai, Maryhill, the city of Glasgow and throughout. So may God bless us tonight In this new week, may he lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.